mask or COVID risk. But this morning when I was sitting there, I was quite surprised. The attendance, people coming, is more than I expected. As we make an effort to have fellowship with brothers and sisters, either at home or here, the Lord will bless us. And if we make effort to for the Lord will remember and will His desires to bless us with His love and riches. Let us first read Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 to 21. This is the scripture I would like to share with one another. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 and 21 to 21. Let me read it out. It's in ESV version, and you read in your hearts. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to Him be glory in the Church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for gathering us together and let us learn to gather in your name. Lord, as we come here, Lord, we ask you to open our hearts. Lord, take away all the hindrances. If there's anything hinder us to draw near to you, Lord, we ask you to have your blood to cleanse them and cover them. Lord, as we come as we are, by your grace, Lord, may you speak to us. Lord, we also come to you not as individual only, as we are, by your blood. Lord, we come as a church. No matter in English meeting now, or in later in 11 o'clock or afternoon Chinese meeting, or in Calaview, Lord, we ask you to protect your church so that there's no any loophole. Those loopholes can undermine our fellowship with you and undermine and be a hindrance so that we can't receive your words as you want to. Lord, so we ask you to help us to come in boldness and faith and in a pure heart to desire to see you and to listen to you. Lord, we ask you to take away all the work of Satan so that you are with us. Nothing can stand against us. We ask for your anointing, so what we share and we read your scripture, Lord, we ask the Holy Spirit to anoint your own words and translate them into our hearts so that they become relevant in us, so that we know how to love you. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The scripture we just read or shown on the screen is Paul's intercession for Ephesians believers, which we looked at last time. Last time we focused on the first few verses with a theme focusing on knowing the love of Christ and intercession. This time I would like to look at the same session, but more on the last few verses, focusing on another theme, which is knowing the love of Christ and the fullness of God. Last time we looked at what Paul prayed in verse 16 and 17. He asked God to strengthen the Ephesian believers in a man. Why Paul prayed this? The purpose is that Christ may dwell in their hearts through faith. We need to know that here, Christ dwelling in our hearts is not the same as Christ being in our hearts when we have eternal life through believing in Him. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 to 12, it says, "And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life." So when we believe in Jesus, we receive eternal life from God. This eternal life is in His Son, Jesus Christ. So at the point we receive the eternal life, we receive the Son of God in us. That means every true Christian has the Son of God in him or her. However, when Paul talked about in Ephesians chapter 3 on Christ dwelling in our hearts, this is different from the Son of God in us mentioned in 1 John chapter 5. Because even Ephesian Christians had already Christ in them, their believers. Paul still prayed for them, for Christ dwelling in their hearts. As mentioned last time, this refers to letting Christ settling in their hearts through faith to be the Lord, so that the Lord Jesus to be the Lord and King of their inner being. The more we are to be strengthened with power through the Holy Spirit in our inner being, the more we have faith for Christ dwelling in our hearts as our Lord and King. The more Christ dwells in our hearts, the more we can be rooted and grounded in love, in His love. Before I continue, I would like you to think of a question. What is the foundation of your life? Or on what you are building your life upon? Are you rooted and grounded in the love of Christ? Recently, Yvonne told me of a news report in Hong Kong a few months ago about an associate professor of the Chinese University of Hong Kong, a very prestigious university in Hong Kong. This associate professor has an extramarital affair. One day he murdered his wedded wife and 16-year-old daughter, their 16-year-old daughter, through using carbon monoxide in a car. He was then sentenced to life imprisonment. A very tragic story of a family of the promising academia. I've been thinking on what this associate professor was building his life upon. Had he built his life upon his intelligence in his studies since he was young? Or upon his enviable university or professional education? Or an admirable marriage with a beautiful wife? Or a successful career, or money, or properties, or shares? I don't know this man, so I don't actually know what is he has been rooted and grounded. But one thing I'm sure, he was not building his life upon the love of Christ. Otherwise, he wouldn't have carried out such a cold-blooded murder to his family. What is the foundation of your life? A high-rise building can only be built on a foundation dug deep into a strong, stable bedrock in order to be able to survive and endure shocks in coming years. Sometimes when shocks come, there's no warning beforehand. This associate professor hasn't had rooted and grounded in his life building in a very or a reliable foundation. So when time comes, it fell, and the ruin was big. If a tree can endure cold weather, cold winter, or harsh summer, severe rain or storm or prolonged drought, it has to have extensive and deep roots to source the water and nutrients from the soil and hold firm to the ground. Though the roots are not obvious and hidden, they are hidden. They are very vital. All the observable parts, the trunk, the branches, the leaves, fruits, all depending on the roots and getting life through it. Upon what your life is building upon or is rooted and grounded. When I reflect my own life regarding what had been rooted and grounded when I was young, I found that a lot of times it was not rooted and grounded in the love of Christ, but something else. I grew up in a family of fights and quarrels. Conflicts were between my grandma and my mother, between my father and mother. Deep down in my heart, I had a strong sense of insecurity. When I was young, I tried to root and ground my life on my abilities and achievements. I was very motivated to learn and gain knowledge, equipping myself with qualifications which I thought can be useful, because I thought knowledge and ability could give me security. Even after receiving God's salvation and experiencing His unconditional love manifested on the cross to me as a sinner, I still often thinking that I need to be good in order to feel secure, to be well accepted by the Lord and treasured by Him. Without my consciously knowing, I try to be rooted and grounded in my performances of my ability and good behavior. Outwardly, I tried to be an achiever, but inwardly, my foundation was on shaky ground of my unreliable capability, changeable behavior, including my conception on those things. I'm not sure what foundation you have for your life now, or you have been having in the past. May all of us be rooted and grounded in the love of Christ, so that we won't be wasting our time to build our lives upon the sand. Every day when we wake up, let us be assured by God's word, like in Lamentation chapter 3. Twenty-two and 24. He said, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases; His mercies never come to an end." The 24. "The Lord is my portion," says my soul; "therefore I will hope in Him." Let us be rooted and grounded in the love of Christ, putting our hope in His love. We have just looked at letting Christ dwell in our hearts so that we can be rooted and grounded in His love in verse 17. We are now going to look at verse 18, which talks about knowing the love of Christ with all the saints. In order to know the breadth and length and height and depth of the love of Christ, we shouldn't just receive His love. Like a little baby drinking milk from the mother's breast and resting there comfortably and securely. This is very good, but this is not enough. We also need to grow up and let Christ dwell in our hearts, so that we can have strength to comprehend His love through loving Him. Otherwise, the loving relationship between us and Christ is only a one-way love. At best, it is the love between a little baby and his father. In this relationship, there is only one love giver and one love receiver. This is not the complete love between Christ and his church, which God wants. Because one-way love is not an intimate love. The intimate oneness of love God wants for his beloved Son and his church is the love signified in the love God designed between husband and wife. In God's design, his original design, the love between husband and wife, God designed there, you can find mutual understanding, mutual trust, mutual transparency, can co-working together, willing to sacrifice for one another, and can have mutual enjoyment together. This is a love of intimate oneness. It's not a one-way love. Therefore, in order for us to comprehend the love of Christ, we need to let Christ dwell in our hearts so that we can strengthen, He can be our Lord and King for us to love Him. How can we learn to love Christ as Lord and King? In John chapter 14, verse 23 to 24, he said, Jesus answered him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Here, make our home with him has the similar meaning of dwell in him in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. How can we learn to love Christ as Lord and King? Jesus said, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. What is the word Lord Jesus expects us to keep here in John chapter 14? In John chapter 13, the one chapter before, verse 34 and 35, Jesus said, A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have loved one for another. In the chapter afterwards, chapter 15, verse 12, Jesus said again, This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. So very clear here. How can we know the love of Christ? By loving Him. How can we love Him? By loving brothers and sisters in the Lord. We can't say we love the Lord without loving brothers and sisters. God wants us to love Him through loving brothers and sisters. That's why Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18 indicated that in order to comprehend the love of Christ, we need all things together. Through loving one another with other things, we can comprehend more of what is the breadth, the length, the height, and depth of the love of Christ. I don't know what in Paul's mind, when he used these words to describe the love of Christ, or he just used them to express how great and rich the love of Christ is. But we might spend some time to reflect on that. The breadth of the love of Christ might cause us to consider the scope of his love. He loves all mankind, including Jews, the near ones, and the far-off Gentiles. We also can comprehend the breadth of the love of Christ by accepting and including in our fellowship of all brothers in the Lord, from all races, all nationalities, ages, all social status, educated or illiterate, poor or rich, only based on the fact that brother in the Lord, having the same eternal life of the Son of God, either male or female. We can know one another, we can have fellowship with one another, we can learn to love one another. We thank God. In our midst, we have Armenians, we have Vietnamese, we have British, we have Australians, we have Chinese, even with different dialects, young and old. So we can know one another, so that the better we know, the better we can learn to love. Also, because of the breadth of the love of Christ, no matter what kind of sins we have, when we confess our sins, Christ's blood is sufficient and effective to cover, to cleanse, and to forgive us. We can also forgive our brothers for whatever kind of sins he sinned against us. We can learn to forgive. In this way, we can learn to comprehend the breadth of the love of Christ. The length of the love of Christ might cause us to think of his love towards his children is never ceasing or changing, consistently, very long. This love of Christ is from eternity past, when God has chosen us in his love before the foundation of the world, according to his eternal purpose. This love never stops, never pauses, even including the time during our failures, our weaknesses, our falling short of God's glory. This love is a love of patience, it's a love of long suffering. This is a love, loving till the end. Like John chapter 13, verse 1, he said. When Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. This is also a love able to save to the uttermost. As said in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Consequently, this is Jesus, is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. The love of Christ for Christians, for God's children, has no end before the foundation of the world and to eternity. The height of the love of Christ points us to reflect on the victory and glorious of his love. As said in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5 and 6, we look at it before. This love made us alive together with Christ. By grace we have been saved. And this love raised us up with him, so that we can be seated and seat us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This love raised us up. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 2 and 4, this love, because of this love, the salvation the Lord has provided to us, and the task desire from the Lord to us is for this love to enable us Christians, in verse 2, set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. This love raises us to the high. In Romans chapter 8, verse 17, talk about also this love enables us to be heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ and be glorified with him. As we look at this high, victorious, glorious destiny of God's children, we can be hopeful and encouraged, not only in happy time or a successful, victorious time, even in the midst of our failures and weaknesses, we can have the hope. Not only for ourselves we have this hope, we can also be hopeful for the brother and sister around us. This hope can help us to accept the brother and sister around us, even they are not perfect. And this hope also can help us to forgive them by the love of Christ, even they are maybe currently in a very spiritually pitiful condition. Because we know that God is able to deal with his child and restore accordingly. The reason for us to be able to receive the broad, long, and high love of Christ is because of the deep, deep love of Christ. This deep love of Christ caused our Lord to die a thorough death in the cruelest way on the cross with all the pain and shame. A death caused him separation from the righteous and holy God, with whom he enjoyed intimate oneness throughout eternity. The pain that separation to Christ was far beyond man's imagination and understanding. His death bore all our curses and judgment of all the sins, no matter who, in whatever ages, his death is effective for everyone, for those who believe in him. The death of the love of Christ can reach any depth of our sinfulness. And also it can lift us up from any depth of hopelessness. The deep love of Christ also makes us humble and grateful before Christ, knowing that I am a sinner saved by grace. And also, together with other brothers and sisters in Christ, we know that we are all sinners saved by grace. We are sinners saved by grace by his deep love through his death. So we can learn to offer worship to the Lord in humility and gratefulness. Together, we can comprehend more of the love of Christ together. Isn't the love of Christ wonderful? As I share, I would like to know more about the Christ, his love. And we pray that all of us have a desire, strong desire, to know, experience more of the love of Christ. We praise God we can be the object of this love. We can be the sharer of this love. We can love Christ by loving our fellow brother and sister in Christ. We can't live a single life, single Christian life, separated from other brother and sister. We need brother and sister. So far, we have looked at two main points. Number one, being rooted and grounded in the love of Christ. Number two, loving God through loving other brothers and sisters. We need both of the above in order to comprehend experientially the love of Christ. Now we are going to look at the consequence of pursuing, knowing and experiencing the love of Christ with other things. What is the consequence? The consequence is to be filled with all the fullness of God. As the scripture, chapter 3, Ephesians 17 to 19, we have just read, it said, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Our great God desires to live among men and fill His church with His fullness. How does He feel? Through His children learning, loving one another in the church. Not in this building, in the church, the group of brother and sister. In this way, learning to comprehend the breadth and length and height and depth of the love of Christ. Is that amazing? If we have the love of Christ, we have the fullness of God. You know, people want to be rich, want to possess a lot of things, but they miss the point. If we have the love of Christ, we have everything. If we don't have the love of Christ, we have nothing. When I was young, I tried to be rooted and grounded in my own ability and good behavior. However, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 1 to 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 to 3. Paul said, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, here you see a very capable person, having very eloquent English, Chinese, Armenians, Vietnamese, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers, you know, a person being able to give powerful prophecy, even powerful preaching, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, having a lot of insight, impressive insight, revelation, but have no love of Christ, I am nothing. Paul continued, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, this person not only capable, he's very spiritual, has great faith, even can move mountain. Powerful faith, but have no love. I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, even having sacrificially given away all my possessions, or even my own body to be burned, give away, in pain, very good sacrifice, very good admirable behavior, but have not love, I gain nothing. However, when we comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth of the love of Christ, we may be filled with all the fullness of God. When we have the fullness of God, we have everything. The love of Christ is so wonderful, so precious and glorious. It brings us the fullness of our great God. It is not we ourselves are able. It is God who is able. Our able God can bring us and lead us and help us and transform us to comprehend the love of Christ. So in verse 20, Paul said, in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. Not only our God is able to do this, very clear, our God can do this. He has the power to raise Jesus from the dead. He can transform us. He is able to do this. Not only he can do that, more, he has determined to accomplish this for his glory in his church. So that one day, like what we have read in Ephesians chapter 3, the previous verses, in verse 10 of chapter 3, or verse 9. Verse 9, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord. God got determined to do that, and he will finish it. Paul continues in verse 21 of chapter 3. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. God desires to fill his fullness in the church of Christ. Through what? Through brother and sister loving one another. Comprehend the love of Christ. So this feeling of God's fullness, it echoes Ephesians chapter 1 at the end of the prayer Paul prayed. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. There say, and he put all things, the first he is God. And God put all things under his feet. This is the Christ's feet. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. As we are filled with God's fullness more and more, we understand more. What is the meaning of God is love? The mighty God, all-powerful God, is God, He Himself, His love. As we learn to love, as we root in the love of Christ, grounded in the love of Christ, we learn to love Him through loving brother and sister. Through love, we enjoy, we experience the fullness of God and be filled with His love and fullness. May all this is not just spiritual or words or spiritual jargon, but actually the Holy Spirit can reveal God's desire in our hearts, so that we no longer wasting our time to be rooted and grounded in those sand, those changing, unreliable, false foundation. Yesterday I heard the news, in Italy, there is a hospital suddenly collapsed, and there's a hole, big hole. I think the foundation has some problem. Let us not waste our time. Build upon something which is dangerous, in case one day we fail, we fall, and the ruin is big. And even worse, we discover that at the end of our life, no more chance. Let us now see clearly we need to be rooted and grounded in the love of Christ. And we need to learn to comprehend the love of Christ. The breadth, length, height, and depth. With other things, may we truly enjoy the salvation God gives us more and more, and give glory to Him. Let's pray. Now we ask you for those scriptures we have just read. Now we ask you, the Holy Spirit, to impress those scriptures in our hearts, not as just words of ink on paper, but your own words spoken in our hearts, writing on our hearts, so that your word's power can transform us and attract us to see the glory of your love, and to strengthen us to comprehend your love with other things, to give glory to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let us sing number 11, Amazing Love, number 11.